sure. And so, you know, it shouldn't make much of a difference when he's not here. He's asking to speak to us, by the way. And so we have our brochures available. If you're interested in camp, right from 8 years old to 108. So if you're anywhere within that range, pick up a brochure for camp. We have a couple of other things that I want you to take a note of. It's there in our newsletter. It's on the table over there, and you can read about what's going on at the camp. But then there's a new one this morning that we want to bring your attention to. It's a little brochure. It says the Quest Capital Projects Campaign. So you can look at it. This is your Quest Jet flight. Anyways, there's a few things in that. You know, part of my job, of course, at Quest is to look at the site. And sometimes when I walk around the site, you know, it can be a little overwhelming, you know. We need to fix that. We need to replace that. Oh, we need to upgrade that. Whoops, we need to throw that out. You know, and so sometimes when we look at a property, there's some things that say, man, it's a little overwhelming sometimes. But so what we have to do, we have to kind of break them down into smaller increments and say, we'll tackle this, or we'll fix this, and we'll do this year. And so that's kind of the way we've been operating. And our dining hall, we have a very nice facility, as most of you know. This is our dining hall. And in our dining hall, we have lots of chairs, and these chairs are starting to deteriorate. So one of our projects that we have in our capital campaign this year is to replace the chairs. For some reason, people think that chairs should only have two legs. Chairs actually have four legs, but most people think they should only have two legs. So therefore, because of that, most of our chairs are starting to deteriorate. Those who come on staff at the Quest know that what I do many times in the dining hall, I go around and go, boom, 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 boom. I knock the chair down on the four legs. But some of our chairs are starting to deteriorate. So that's one of our projects we have on this year. We need 100 chairs for a dining hall. The chairs delivered right here to our parking lot, First Baptist, are $32 a piece. So what we're challenging you as an individual, as a ministry group, as a church, is to see if you can sponsor a few chairs so that we can replace the chairs in our dining hall before we have no place to sit. As it is right now, when we have a full camp, we don't have enough chairs for everyone. So we want to buy 100 chairs. So that's one project that we have on. We have luxurious accommodations at the Quest. Not really. You ever get one like that, Joyce? Well, there's a space in choosing the nicest one. One of our projects, our building is now 12 years old, and the bedding on the beds is now 12 years old, and starting to get a little ratty and deteriorated. My wife, you know, kind of says, this is embarrassing. So we do need to replace the bedding. It might not look just like this, but we need to replace the bedding in our rooms. We do have about 50 beds between our lodge and our retreat house, about 50 beds, and we need to replace the bedding at only $150 a shop. So it is quite an expensive project, but if you break it down that way, if you can furnish bedding on one bed, that would really help us meet this goal and to accomplish this. Then also, we have some other things that are on our want list. This is actually called an iceberg. This is actually a climbing wall, a floating climbing wall. You know, at the Quest, we do have our climbing adventure section of our camp. We have a climbing tower, high ropes, low ropes, all those things. We want to add one more element to our adventure camp, and it's actually a floating iceberg. And this is actually a climbing wall that it's 14 feet tall. It floats in the water, and then you get to climb up that thing, and then the fourth slide, which you can't see, actually has a slide on it. So you climb up that, and then slide back into the water. So, and that's another, that's kind of on our want list, I guess. Not actually our need list, but it's something that we're looking forward to have added to our waterfront someday. We have such a beautiful waterfront, and so we take as much advantage of our waterfront facilities as we can. A few other things that I might mention, just we're always looking for staff, volunteers. If you have a special skill or talent, maybe you like woodworking, maybe you want to come up for a weekend and teach our young people a woodworking craft or sewing or some kind of skill or craft that you might want to share with us for a week and just let me know. We'd be glad to have you come to camp and share your talent with us for a week. And then we're still looking for nurses and volunteer staff, kitchen, custodial, all those things. So if you're interested in any of that, just let me know. Well, how'd that get up there? Well, must have stuck it in there by mistake. That's my grandson, Connor. He's been with them over Easter, just like Rhode Island. That's a long way away. We're trying to talk him and come there to the question. So, thanks. A couple things for you to remember. May 25th, you know, here it's a Sunday school picnic, and we're gonna combine Sunday school picnic and camp day. And so the quest will be providing a barbecue and some games for you after the service on the 25th. And so we're just inviting you, reminding you of that. Usually at that particular time, we challenge you to sponsor a camp. There's many people who can't afford to go to camp. Even though we subsidize the camping ministry 50%, there's still people who can't afford to send their kids to camp. So that's a challenge also. If you would like to sponsor a camper to come to camp, we appreciate that. And then June 6th to 8th, the work weekend at the Quest. We appreciate this church's congregation coming up each year and helping us with the work projects, getting it ready because the camp starts the next week. And so we appreciate you coming, helping us clean things up, get things ready, and we will find something for Peter to build. Okay. It wouldn't be complete without Peter building something. Last year we got to build a nice bandstand and a fire pit, so we'll find something else to do. Okay, so I think that's the end of my advertisements. And I'm going to put this disclaimer up here before I start today. Well, I've been at the camp for almost 3 years now. Previous to coming to Christopher Lake, I was a pastor in a little place called Parker's Cove, Nova Scotia. I was there for 5 years. I'm an apple farmer by trade. I pastored 11 and a half years altogether in 3 different locations. I got to pastor for 5.5 years in a logging community in northern New Brunswick. Many years in the farming community in Nova Scotia, and then for 5 years in fishing villages. So I had the opportunity and privilege to see a whole bunch of different lifestyles, meet different people, and whatnot. And, but I always relish the opportunity to experience something new and go to a different place. And God called us 3 years ago to come to Saskatchewan, to Christopher Lake, to do all the full-time camp ministry. So that's where I'm at. And I want to just share a passage this morning that's a passage in my life that has given me direction, that's given me hope, and given me purpose, and I'll share that with you today. We're just going to pray together before we begin. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for all your blessings, and Lord, we sang praises to you this morning because, God, we know that you're worthy of all our praise. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us new life, for giving us abundant life. Lord, for giving us your word, Lord, that can give us guidance, direction, and help day by day. Lord, we do pray again, Lord, this morning for Pastor Devin, Lord, that you just give him grace and strength in his life, Lord, as he deals with this situation with his family, Lord, as he's going through this time of mourning. We just pray, Lord, that things be able to be worked out with his mom, Lord, and all the things that need to take place. And pray for Pastor Jeremy also, Lord, that we'll just touch his body, help him to recover and heal, Lord, from this operation. So we just ask God your blessing. We ask God that you'll just meet with us, open our hearts and our minds to what you want to say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Each summer at camp, we usually have a theme. And each summer there's a theme. I think the year before I got to the camp, the theme was our God is a consuming fire, and it really centered on the fact of the power of God. And I want to emphasize there the power of God in our lives. The next year, the theme was one another. And that really focused on the idea of building community, and building community in love amongst one another. Last year, our theme was being transformed, and that theme had to do with spiritual growth and spiritual progress, being able to plot spiritual markers in our lives, that would show us the progress that we have made in our lives. And so this year we've chosen another theme, and I'm going to tell you about that a little bit this morning, our new theme. Before I start, though, I'll ask a question. How many here like new things? How many like new things? I dare say the majority of the people here like new things. You like to receive gifts and whatnot. It's evident that people like new things because the shopping malls are always jam-packed and crowded, aren't they? I mean, even when I was coming in this morning, 8:30 or 9 this morning, there's the store, people in the store. They like new things. They like to shop. They like to buy things. And then you have times like Christmas and birthdays and anniversaries. You always expect something, don't you? You expect a gift. And so you get something new on those particular occasions. There is a condition, though. It's called neophobia. You know that? There are some people who actually have a phobia, an aversion to new things. I actually knew one of these people. He was actually one of our teachers at Bible College, and he did not like new things. If someone gave him a new shirt, he would stuff it in his bottom drawer and would stay there for months. And you know, some people have that phobia. There are some new things I like. I like the smell of a new car, don't you? I like the new car smell. You know, and all kinds of new things. Last summer we had a little mishap with our chainsaw can, and our chainsaw got smashed, so I had to go buy a new chainsaw. What a burden, eh? I had to go buy a new chainsaw. I actually brought it with me this morning. I'm going to show it to you.
Oh.
It was actually all I could afford. A new saw. How do I actually use this wonderful product? It's called Oil of Delay. Why would you use such a product? Because you don't want to look old. You want to look new. You want to look shiny clean. I'll take this back home with me. It's actually nothing. But we do like new things, don't we? And, you know, we can jokingly talk about it, but we actually like new things because if we didn't like new things, we wouldn't like adventure. We wouldn't try to experience new things. We wouldn't take on new challenges if we didn't like new things. Sometimes, you know, people like, they don't like change. They don't like to do things differently. But it actually adds a dimension and a vibrancy to our lives. And so, as you might have guessed, our theme for this summer is new. And I want to share with you that a little bit. I think Sean has probably already, talked about this particular verse, and God has given him this vision and given him this direction in his life based upon this verse. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And as Sean shares his testimony of coming from South Africa to Canada, it's all based upon this particular verse. And as you look at this verse in the context and God talking to the nation of Israel, he was telling them that forget the former things, you know, the way things were. Forget all about that. He says, because I'm going to do a new thing. We cannot live in the past, and we need to remember that. We can't live in the past. We need to move on. We cannot live on our past victories either. We have victories in life, but we just can't live on them. We need to move on. And just the same, we cannot dwell on the past failures or the past defeats that we've had in our life. We need to forget about those things and move on in life because God says, I'm going to do a new thing. Do you want God to do a new thing in your life? God is doing new things in this church. There was a direction. God changed the direction. There's something new. And guess what? It's something new and it's something better. And God wants to do this in our lives. And then he gave a couple of examples that the nation of Israel will understand. He says, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness. Remember the nation of Israel? It was a 3.5-day journey, which took them how many years? It took them 40 years for a 3.5-day journey because of their disobedience and all those things. But yet, God says, I'm going to make a way in the desert. Of course, anybody knows anything about roads in the desert? But there one day, they're gone the next. The wind blows and the road is gone. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. And then he says, I'm going to make streams in the desert. Not much water in the desert, is there? And the children of Israel will experience that. But yet God provided supernaturally for them and gave them water in the wilderness. And so he was taking what was seemingly impossible to God, saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something totally different, which you don't understand, and you might not be able to comprehend it now, but I'm going to do it for you. And then as I thought about this whole subject of new, the Bible is full of the promise of new things. Let's look at a few here today. The Bible says that we have a new covenant. Actually, the book of Hebrews says it's a new and better covenant. God made covenants with his people all through the ages, all through time. But when Jesus came and he shed his blood and gave his life in Calvary, he rose again from the dead, he says he did that to bring us a new and better covenant. And then the book of Hebrews tells us that he brought in the second covenant, to establish the first, and it's a new and a better covenant based upon grace and Jesus' sacrifice. Not based upon the law anymore, but based upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that we can look at is that the Bible tells us that we can become a new creation. A new creation in Christ. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We can become a new creation. Jesus talking to his disciples says, I give you a new commandment. And what's that new commandment? To love one another. That's the new commandment that he gave. It's not really a new commandment, but he just wanted to reemphasize that. And then I think the Bible talks about the fact that we have a new calling. We have a calling to holiness. We have a calling to righteousness. God told his people way back in the Old Testament, be holy because I am holy. And then he repeated that in the New Testament. But you know what the difference was? Now he gives us the ability. He gives us the power to live holy, to live righteously, because of the Spirit of God that dwells within each and every one of us. He gives us the ability for holiness and for righteousness. The Bible talks a lot about new life. We can find new life in Christ. The Bible says you must be born again, born from above, born anew. And we can find new life in Christ, a different life, a completely new life. And then the Bible, I think, talks a lot about having a new attitude, because we understand that our actions are always governed by our attitude. Yeah, if you know lemonade, you know that sort of thing. Our attitudes determine our actions. And Paul talking to the Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it talks about Peter, even though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, that took upon him the form of a servant, and he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And so he says, let this mind be in you, a new attitude modeled after Jesus Christ. And he says, then he can give us a new song now, and a new song in eternity. In Revelation 21, it says that they sang a new song. They sang a new song to the Lamb. Then the Bible also talks about one day that we'll have new bodies. I'm sure Jeremy's would be impressed with that this morning. We'll have new bodies, and these new bodies will be immortal. They will be perfect. There will be no more sickness, no more death, no more of these things. Although there will be higher unemployment, not the eternity, because their doctors will all be looking for new jobs. But that's okay. It's great to look forward to. New body. You know, as you get older, it's being started to wear it and all that kind of thing. We can look forward to new bodies someday. And then finally, the Bible talks about the fact that one day there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And in this new heavens and this new earth, sin and the curse will be eradicated. It will no longer be in play, and we'll live in paradise as Jesus intended it to be. There's a few more things that I jot down here this morning. Lamentations tells us his mercies are new every morning. And so we can look forward to new things every day. We don't have to wait for special days, special occasions. We can experience new things every day. That's the mercy of God, new every morning for us. It says here in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. And that's another variation of that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to pay attention to this and how we treat our mind and what we watch and what we listen to so many times. And then, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so these are many new things that we can experience as believers, many promises of renewal and new things in our lives day by day. But I want to focus on this passage of scripture here this morning. In Psalm number 40, it's kind of one of my verses that I hold dear and that I cling to many times. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. These verses kind of give a brief description of my life and where my life was and where my life has gone to me. I was born and raised in Nova Scotia, and I was born into a church-going home. But at the same time, my church experience was one of empty religion. We didn't hear the gospel. We didn't hear the fact that Jesus had died for us personally. We didn't hear the fact that we needed to be born again. We didn't hear the idea that God had an abundant life planned and prepared for us. And so we just went through the empty religious ritual. And I guess about 12 years of age, I just decided, I don't need any of that. That doesn't interest me. I don't care about that stuff. And then just kind of went off on my own. Because really, any church experience or any spiritual experience I've had really had no heart impact upon me, because it was just an empty church liturgical type of religion. And then, as I went on and went through high school, we started to get into the time where pure acceptance became part of life, and pure acceptance became very important in life. And so as I went through my middle teenage years, I started to, of course, do the things that teenagers sometimes like to do, who just want to walk their own way, and the alcohol and the drugs and all those things. And I walked in that path for a couple of years. And then in January 1980, I woke up one morning very sick again. And then I just thought to myself, is this what life is about? Is this all there is to life? You know, I worked hard and earned money and spent it on things that made me depressed and sick. I mean, come on. There must be more to life than this. And so that was January in 1980. And so from that point, I was ready to listen. I was ready to hear something new. I was ready to find some new direction, something new in life that would give me purpose in life. And so about that time, I was ready. My heart was open. And there were many of my classmates in high school who were Christians. I didn't know. We kind of used to make fun of them a little bit. One of the young guys, he was a goaltender on our hockey team. And we always used to have hockey practice on Wednesday nights. And he could never come because he had to go to church. Can you imagine? You know, like, no, he can't come. He has to go to church. Guess what? They go to church three times a week. Three times a week. You know, and we used to make fun of these kids, you know. And then, but then I got to the point in my life where I was ready to hear something new. And I started to listen to what they were saying. And because the gospel was first packaged in the form of a girl I had my eye on since before, I was ready to listen. And so they told me about the gospel, they told me about Jesus, and they told me the fact that, you know, that I was a sinner. And I said, what? Well, okay, yeah, you're probably right. It took me about 4 seconds to clue into that one, but I never heard of it before. But so they gave me the gospel, and they lived it out before me. And so June of 1980, they invited me one night to go to a meeting at their church, an evangelistic meeting. And it was that night, June the 10th, 1980, that I heard the gospel clearly. I understood it, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. But as you look at this passage of scripture, you know, when David's writing here, he's talking about some experiences that he's obviously had in his life. He said, he talks about a horrible pit. He talks about miry clay. And there were times in my life that that's where I was. I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay, and I didn't want to be there. And then I trusted Christ as my Savior, and he delivered me from all those things. And thank God that I hadn't gone any farther in that. But yet, he delivered me at just the right time, and then I was saved. And, you know, to be saved is such a wonderful thing. Because I see salvation in two aspects. I see salvation first in this aspect, to rescue from loss. And I was rescued from loss. I was rescued from a life of despair and depression and hopelessness and pointlessness. I was delivered from that. And then, for the believer, to be saved is to be rescued from misapplication. As a believer, you know that you can misapply your life. You can spend your life doing things that aren't right. You can spend your life with no direction and no point. But to be saved is to be rescued from loss and misapplication. And so in this passage of Scripture, I see three things that are very clear to me and very dear to me. The first one is deliverance. The second one is direction. And the third one is devotion. And so he delivered me, it says here. He says, he also brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. This pit of despair, this pit of sin, a pit of addiction it could have become. And from a hopeless situation, because there was a time in my life where I felt pretty hopeless. If this is all life is about, I'm really not that interested in life. But this passage, of course, we understand. Here is written to believers who find themselves in hopeless situations. And God wants to deliver you from a hopeless situation. The old hymn says, from sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. And God wants to do that for each one of us today. He wants to deliver us from this miry pit, these pits of despair, this hopeless situation. And then he says, I want to set you on a solid rock. He lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Solid ground, firm truth. And that's where God has delivered me from, and that's where he has delivered me to. And then the second thing I see in this passage is that he has not only delivered me, but he's given me a purpose. God has now given me a purpose in life. And he says there at the end of verse 2, and he has established my steps. He has established my steps. For every child of God, the will of God needs to be paramount above all things. Even this weekend, I've had people ask me, why do we need Nova Scotia? Beautiful place called Nova Scotia. And come to Saskatchewan. Isn't that an insult to you people? That people would actually ask me that question, being from Saskatchewan. Why would we move from Nova Scotia to Saskatchewan? Why would people move from South Africa to Saskatchewan? Because I believe it's part of the will of God. And for us in our lives, doing the will of God is paramount in our lives. And so when we gave our hearts to Christ and we surrendered ourselves to Christ, we said, God, wherever you want us, wherever you need us, we'll go. We'll be willing to go there. You know, it's 3,000 miles from a pupil of grandson called Connor, but yet it's the will of God. And so we were willing to do that. So we moved here. But the will of God also implies other things, too. It implies the will of God deals with our conduct in life. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we live our lives? We live them according to the will of God. If you want to do a study sometime, look up all the passages that talk about the will of God. And it deals with how we conduct our life. And then the will of God also deals with our aspirations of life. What our goals, what our plans are. Sometimes we have goals, but we have plans in our lives, and God says, guess what? I got something better for you. I got something new and better and more abundant for you. And then if you follow my path, you'll be doubly blessed. And I can say that that's in our lives. That's been true in our lives. And from the time I became a Christian at 17, I became a pastor at 19. And then God has walked us through. I've been a farmer and a pastor and camp director. All these things in my life, and it's all part of God's plan. And being in his will is very important to us. A friend of mine once gave me this piece of advice. Listen to this carefully. He says, if God calls you to be a garbage man, don't stoop to be a king. Very good piece of advice he gave me. If God calls you to be a garbage man, don't stoop to be a king. And so we follow the will of God. The will of God is paramount in our life. And so when God delivered me, he also gave me a purpose. He gave me a direction in life. And then the third thing, the natural result of all that God has done for me, is a new song. And look what he says, and he has put a new song in my mouth. And I can say that from the bottom of my heart, that God has given me a song in my heart. Just stop and think about it. Every culture, every movement, every nation, every club, every group, every demographic has their song, don't they? You know, everybody has a song that's attached to their group or whatever they're doing. And so God has given me a song which is praise to him. And that's what I want to do with my life. You know, song is really a reflection of the heart condition. Many times you can see that. For instance, if you're happy, what do you usually do? You whistle, you hum, you sing, right? If you're happy, that's generally what you do. You know, you work along, whistling, you're humming a tune, you're singing a little song, because you're happy. And so a song reflects our heart condition in many, many times, in many, many ways. But I do like an old hymn, How Great Thou Art. It has a line in that song that says, then sings my soul. You know, and I look around the church sometimes and I see a lot of soul singers. Because it ain't coming out of your mouth. So I'm glad that there's still soul singers. It's still in there. It's not being verbalized, you know. But a new song is part of our new life in Christ. When we've been delivered and given purpose in life, it will naturally result in a song in our lives. And if you look through the scripture very carefully, worship is a theme of our lives. It ought to be a theme in our lives, and songs play a great role in it. And maybe you didn't realize this, but more is said in scripture about worship than service. We need to spend some time in our lives in worship, and sometimes a song can help us do that. And so as we look at this passage, it's evident that this new song, it becomes a testimony to other people. That's what it says in the end of that verse. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it with fear and will trust in the Lord. It becomes a testimony to others because, first of all, we've been delivered from the things that captivated us. We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered perhaps from addiction. We've been delivered from despair, all these things. And then direction now becomes clear and determined in our lives. And then the third thing, the happiness and the joy will take place in our lives that has never been seen before. And then the fourth thing that happens is that credit will be given to our deliverer, Jesus. He's put a new song in my mouth. Speaking of a new song, you want to sing a new song? Okay, we're going to sing a new song. Look right up here. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this little song before. I know this is unorthodox, but okay. Anybody ever heard this before? It's actually an echo song. So what's going to happen? I'm going to sing it the first line. You're going to repeat it. Okay? Easy? Okay? You don't want too many soul singers here. You might be able to actually sing something. Okay. Okay, we're going to try this song, and you just follow along and you repeat as I sing. I sing a new song. Jesus came. Jesus came. I sing a new pastor. A new day. A new day. A new glow. 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 I'm just going to wrap up here this morning, and we've three things here this morning. We've talked about new life. You know, new life is offered to anyone who will accept it. I'm glad that as a teenager, 17-year-old, that new life was offered to me, and I accepted this new life. And it's very clear that if you're here this morning and you've never embraced Christ, if you've never accepted Him, if you've never, you know, heard the message that Jesus loved you and gave His life for you, then you need new life today. You need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior you need. He will deliver you from all these things that we've talked about and give you a new life. New life is offered to you today. And then for each of us, no matter our situation, no matter what trials, no matter what circumstance we go through, there's new hope for every one of us. And hope is that expectation. Hope is that thing that we can cling to. You know, it will be better. Time will be better. God will provide. God will meet all my needs. That's the hope that we cling to in life day by day. It will give us strength and joy in times of trial, because we all understand that trials certainly will come in each of our lives. And then the last thing is that He will give us a new song. A new song. You know, that's perhaps something you're looking for in your life today. A new song. You know? I have this kind of a funny habit. Another funny habit.
Encourage and Lord, use me to go from this place today.